Welcome to the Daily VFit Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. If you've missed the first hour, you've got to catch the first hour. We God is imparting in our lives light and wisdom for these days. I mean, he says, "Hear what my spirit say into the church," and it's amazing.
Speaks, doesn't it?
Yeah, God speaks. God does speak, and it's so cool. I mean, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He, ever since the garden, he always wanted to walk with you. It was the fall of man that separated us from God, but Jesus Christ can bring you back in relationship him again. And when you're back in relationship with him, you can be like Adam was and stroll every day in the garden of your life with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants, is a relationship with you. If you have not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, enter back in relationship with God, the creator of the universe. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories, and obviously not all of it, but hopefully enough to realize, for you to read that and go, my goodness, they needed Jesus.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's all sin is separates us from God, but God dealt with the sin issue on the cross with offering his son as a sacrifice. Find out more at meetmyfather.org. Man, there's a statistic. We're going to be talking about two things in regards to this. We're going to finish up the tactic we were talking about in the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the third tactic in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, because it's being used today. But there's a figure. Was it 94%?
94% of U.S. households have at least one Bible in their home right now.
So that's like 320.
At least one. At least one.
Yeah, right.
At least one. Not to mention those that are on digital devices now everywhere.
Right. But do they read it?
Well, it's like 97% really don't.
Not at all.
And 81% don't even pick it up to even look inside of it, right?
Mm.
Wouldn't that be something? What could you imagine? Can you imagine somebody who spent their whole life claiming to be a Christian?
Mm. Wow.
And then persecution comes. Persecution comes, and they start throwing people that they call a Christian on a train, taking them to a concentrated area, and all of a sudden they take that person up and put them on the train, and they start saying, wait a minute. It's like, no. So that's part of being,
And it is coming.
Yeah. It's happened in the past, but the whole thing, can you imagine the shock of the person who claimed to be a Christian, but really wasn't.
Right.
And now they're going, like, they're trying to default, like, I'm not a Christian, you're right. I guess they'll be the ones taking names at the oven. Anyway, so in the context of that, we're going to be having playing in the last, I mean, who better than to have the Jacob himself, or Israel, speaking today from, as all the nations are gathered together. I mean, think of, in the last days, Joel, 1:1-3 or something of that nation, that area of the word, all the nations are going to be judged in the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of decision, about what they did with Israel. And here, God is telling the world, you're about to hear, and they're in this extra hour, you're going to hear Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, speak, and we're going to talk through the speech, and you're going to hear the whole speech. You need to hear it. Because you can, first of all, you're going to be encouraged. Secondly, you're going to get perspective of the judgment day. Thirdly, you're going to see, man, we're being offered we're in the valley of decision now as a nation right here.
Yeah.
Jacob just showed up. Israel just showed up.
And made a plan.
And laid out in great detail, you know, how are you going to stand? And then he ends with, we're going to find out that, you know, we're going to stand up for ourselves. So it doesn't matter where you stand with us or not.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to God, it does matter whether you stand with Israel or not. And we stand with Israel. As a matter of fact, when you go to VFNTV.com, you can see right there that we are connected with Kufi Christians United for Israel, and also partner with Avi in Tel Aviv and his ministry, the Do Good, and his church and all that we love Israel, and we are thankful for them. As a matter of fact, all of our equipment, you know, comes from there, and that's where my call. I got my call when I was... And from what the season that we're in now, you know, came when I was at the side of Galilee, like at 4 o'clock in the morning, staying at a kibbutz there, and just praying, you know, over dear God, help Pat, you know, saying things. And
he needs help.
Yeah, he needs help. And God was like, I don't know.
Lord.
And no, seriously, though. And all of a sudden, a prophet comes out right there on the side of Galilee and begins to prophesy to me. You know, and it was such a huge word. And I was just thinking, okay, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
You know, no matter what you do, it happens. I mean, God begins to do things. It just happens. And so today, that's when our call came. God called me to speak to me there. I'm excited about what was going to happen in Israel, because God even talked about to me, prophesied to me when I was there one of the times about this huge gathering on the side of Beatitudes, this mountain where Jesus spoke at. And you can remember us standing at the bottom of that mountain, and you can stand at the very bottom of it, and and you can whisper, and you can hear all
the whole thing,
all the way up, you know. And so we practiced that. We jumped over the fence. It's like, I didn't fly 10,000 miles.
I didn't jump over the fence when I was there. I didn't. Did y'all jump over the fence?
Well, it was a pretty high fence. We understand.
Okay. How do you do it?
Well, I don't think. Well, we floated over.
You floated over. Okay.
I don't recall, but I know I'm 5,000 miles flying. I'm like, I'm gonna go to the Beatitudes.
That's right.
Be kind. Be gentle. don't trespass. That is so funny. It just came to me. Anyway, so we're going to hear from him, but first we want to finish the tactic. And the reason why we're talking about tactics, those that are just joining us, and make sure you hear the entire broadcasts over this, and we just kind of titled them, since the book is dedicated, or at least the front part of it gives a shout out to Lucifer, who was the first organizer.
Evil organizer, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so they take tips. They're taking tips from Satan how to organize. Well, Saul Alinsky is taking tips from how to organize from Lucifer. They're giving a big shout out to him. He's the first organizer. He organized a third of the ancient. I mean, they didn't go into details, but they're referring to him. And that's how the book starts off. And it's like, at that point, it's like, hey, not God. So read it in the context of you're about to read darkness here. And but he reveals the strategy. I mean, you know, Satan's got to be ticked off with this dude. I mean, you think about it. I mean, somebody says, there's a special place in hell for this guy. Even Satan says, there's a special place in hell for you. Told all my secrets.
You told all the secrets,
all my secrets. And if you want to find out, you'll find out. These tactics and these strategies, you'll find out that if somebody's married to someone who is in love with darkness, these are the tactics being used against you. Because it's satanic tactics. It's not necessarily what they're thinking up. It's just what naturally comes to flesh and comes to this, what Satan does. They're held captive to do the adversary's will. If you have family members, like parents, and you're a Christian child, and your parents are in darkness, I mean, this is what's happening to you from your parents. And if you have children who love darkness, and this is what's happened between you and relationships, doesn't matter what it is. This is how the tactics work. Sure. It's pretty much. And so we entitled the segments, each of the segments, and we just break them by one key word to let you know of. But it's like tips from Satan, tips from Lucifer.
Yeah.
The tips from Lucifer are how to organize America and the world. Really? I mean, you don't want to believe it.
Right.
But it's like, you know, I spent my whole... It's like, no, this is not true.
This is not
He's
happening.
Not hitting me. He didn't just
not
lie.
Getting over the head right
he
now.
Didn't just lie. He's not betraying me. Is he betraying? Oh, my goodness. Let's just try one more time. Pat's going, great.
No, please.
Oh,
don't.
My goodness. I'm like, Pat. He's got a Bible and talks about Jesus and stuff, right? He hit you with it, Greg. He hit you with it.
Right.
I got hit with a pancake at a pancake breakfast. Oh, anyway.
God bless you, brother. Moving on.
Now we know. Saul Alinsky. Oh, my goodness.
There it is.
Tactic, all of them. Anyway, so there's 13 tactics, and we're talking about them in the first end of the first hour. I want to finish up this tactic because we're going to go right into the prime minister. I want you to be able to hear the speech that was given just a few hours ago at the United Nations. The third tactic is very important to understand because we're seeing it all the time. But the second tactic, remember, was don't allow the people that you're a few people that you're organizing to push the masses to go a certain direction. Don't pull them outside their experiences, because if you do that, they're going to be
They're going to lose communication.
They're going to lose communication. They're going to be fearful, retreat. Anxious. They're going to retreat. Well, tactic three is, now, in regards to the ones that you're trying, the 300-plus million people, what do you want to do? Whenever possible, this is tactic three, go outside their experiences or the experiences of your enemy. And look for ways to increase anxiety and uncertainty. Now, come on now. Come on now. Have you not seen every briefing coming out of the White House? I mean, every like, is there anything else you want to increase in anxiety on the people? That
tell me about
anybody, anybody so nervous? Like, hey, we should let you know that's, you know, guns are everywhere. This is going on. Like, what happened? Is everything? What did you just bow down to the King of Saudi? Anxiousness, yeah. Nervousness. Right, you right. know,
is there anyone standing over there? Anybody? Anybody?
Your shoes are off at Mecca. What's going on here? You got a tear in your left eye as you're walking through there. Oh my God! Did you just shake the hand of the president of Iran? You know, since all the way since Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Carter didn't even shake the hand of the president. He actually shook the hand of the Ayatollah.
Did you call
or
him?
Or he called
did
him.
Did you
up.
Call him? Yeah. Did you call
Excuse
him?
Excuse me, is the Ayatollah in? One moment, please. I'll be right with you in just a moment. This is the Ayatollah. Can I help you?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I know you didn't want to shake my hand, but I want to give you a phone call.
And this is how the call went. Hello, I'm the Ayatollah. Oh, wow. Saul Alinsky, how are you doing? Anyway, so, and he goes on talking about the third tactic here. He says, when this happens, he says, watch this. He says, when this happens, watch how many organizations under attack are blindsided by seemingly irrelevant arguments that they are forced to address. Let me tell you right now, when you see a fellow brother or sister in the Lord being this crazy arguments out there, don't demand from them an explanation.
Yeah.
You just get, humble yourself and you be light.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. if you're not on the front lines, I mean, I just want to tell you, if you're not on the front lines, shh.
For real.
Don't write. You know, don't talk. Don't
get no interviews. Don't say nothing.
Don't look this way. You know, I'm for you. I'm for you, man. We're all going to get, you know what I'm saying? But just shh. Because next thing you'll know, you'll be saying things like, don't go to Jerusalem.
Exactly.
And Jesus turned around and he said,
yeah.
Jesus turned around. The Son of God turned around and he said to Peter, what did he say? He said, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. So if you're not committed to the Lord and following him, don't just jump in the fray, spiritual fray. And just all of a sudden your mouth's going to be set on fire, and you're going to say things like, I mean, if Jesus Christ himself could be tempted,
hello,
the Son of God who's going to be crucified, willingly crucified, and take on your junk, my junk, and everybody's junk, and everybody's junk that ever happened, all
that's
the
right.
sin that ever was, all the wrong things that ever was, and never did anything wrong, and he can be swayed by somebody's mouth, I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? You got to watch out.
That's right.
You're going to be held accountable for every word that comes out of your mouth. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's so
he
right.
says, judged by every word. Didn't he say that?
That's
he
right.
said it.
You're going to be either condemned by him
mm-hmm.
or blessed by him, right?
That's right.
And so words are power of life and death in the tongue. And so we're letting you know this so you can actually be encouraging and get in the word. If you get in the word of God, you know, like the 3%.
That's right.
And get in the Bible as a Christian and read it, then you can tell people scriptures. Just if you can't think of anything, just quote a scripture to them. You know? Just quote a scripture. And if you can't think of anything else, just go, shh.
That's right.
Right.
Because the Son of Man could be tempted not to do the will of the Creator of the universe, who he was with at the beginning of time and knows inside and out. I mean, think about it. He was communing with it every single day, and Peter could go, don't go to Jerusalem. Think about it.
Think about it. It's huge.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we're talking about that tactic. And of course, we already talked about a couple of scriptures, and you can hear that. It's all together here. But we left off it, you know, how do we respond to that when people try to bring us in chaos? Of course, we talked about it. We're already moving outside of our experiences. We walk by faith, not by sight. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Mm-hmm. He's not a God of chaos, which means you get back into order again. You get back into the order that you're supposed to be in God, and you just relax in that order. Don't get outside of God. Don't go outside his boundaries. When Satan's trying to lure you out like a sheep outside your gathering, your flock that God has called you to be, you need to be able to stay there.
That's right.
You got to stay in that place of order. God, and no matter, and, you know, a lot of people kind of get a wild hair and, you know, wild maverick and the thing. I'm just going to do this thing. Well, great, I'll see you after the fall. But understand this, that the enemy wants to bring you into chaos. And that's where he begins to... Wars are chaos. And when war happens, that's when borders change. Mm. That's when constitutions change. That's when revolutions happen. That's what this book is really about. Rules for Radicals is not it's actually a revolution.
Sure.
What he calls it. And he even quotes some of our founding fathers in it. I'm like, oh, but he's rolling over in his grave. And so God's a God of order. So when you start seeing people, this is what people with those kind of spirits on them will do. They'll come in, they'll be like just all rapidly and talking fast and quick and just all over the map. And I ain't got much time. I need to move. I'm like, whoa,
slow down.
And because you got to be able to move within the context of wisdom and move within peace, because God is a God of order. Also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, he's talking about in regards to this, about what happens to the church. And he says in verse 32, he says, he says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light. Think about that. After you received the light and when you stood your ground in the great contest. And that's what they talk about when you're organized. There's some enemies organizing against you. There's going to be conflict. You know, organize, polarize to organize and bring conflict. And he talks about the conflict right here. And in the context of that, and then he says, you know, remember the contest that you faced and the suffering that took place. In verse 33 says, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution.
Mm.
Sounds like an organizer's methodology, right?
Mm-hmm.
At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. In other words, other people besides you were being treated the very same way. Sounds like Saul Alinsky was talking to him, the spirit of that. He says, and you sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. If you think about what's happening in the context, what they're threatening to do, because you knew that you yourselves had a better and more lasting possessions that was in heaven.
That's right.
And so then he says, so don't throw away your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw away your confidence. Faith is being confident. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, and that's what we're going to hear from the Prime Minister. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, which definitely matters, by the way, you will receive what he has promised. In verse 39, he says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Listen, this is so important, because the strategy in this particular third tactic is the very thing that they know they cannot. If they move outside of that, they're going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. They're trying to push you outside of that. But you should be already living outside of yourself. You shouldn't be moving in pride. You should be moving in humility. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Things are going to happen to us, but cheer up. God's overcome this life that we're living in, and we're living for eternity. Don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. Don't shrink back. And if you right now are being fearful, anxious, and want to retreat, and your communication shut down with God and God's people, is because you're moving in pride. You need to repent, humble yourself, turn from your wicked ways back to God. And guess what? Everything's going to be A-okay. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Dad, you've got a special role in your daughter's life. With Focus on the Family Minute, this is John Fuller. Dr. Kevin Lehman shares how you can communicate your love to your daughter in a way that she feels it.
He affirms her femininity, number one. He affirms the fact that she's a little girl, you know, and he takes time to listen to her. Now, women use 2.5, 3.5 times the number of words that we men use in a given day or week. With women, you got to be patient. You have to listen. They have a need to talk, to share. Most men aren't real big on that. Most men thrive on arm's length relationships. But the last thing your daughter needs from you, gentlemen, is an arm's length relationship.
It may be uncomfortable. Okay, it will be uncomfortable. But you can connect with your little girl, and it'll be worth the effort. Learn more about that daddy-daughter relationship from Dr. Lehman today on FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear His voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear His word. We need to get to know His voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know His voice better. And we need to get better at obeying His voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study His word, then you'll understand He always rescues His people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to His plan. You have to know Him. You have to understand how to hear His voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are so excited. We want to be able to have this few moments ago with the United Nations, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. Was speaking right there. And by the way, just so you know, it is the Sons of Sceva.
Sceva.
Sceva, the southern accent I'm thinking about. So anybody's out there thinking about your sugar is evil. You know, stevia sugar.
It's not stevia, it's Sceva.
You know, excuse me. I'm sorry. So it is definitely the Sons of Stevia.
Sceva.
I just love that. Just, you know. Yeah. Here we are. Prime Minister of Israel speaking. You are about to be so encouraged. Let's just listen up right now. I want you just to prepare yourself to hear an encouraging word from sanity.
Yes.
From Jacob. Matter of fact, listen up. You can actually see it right here if you're watching.
We are an ancient people. We date back nearly 4,000 years to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have journeyed through time. We've overcome the greatest of adversities. And we reestablished our sovereign state in our ancestral homeland, the land of Israel. Now, the Jewish people's odyssey through time has taught us two things. Never give up hope. Always remain vigilant. Hope charts the future. Vigilance protects it.
That's so encouraging. Mm. So encouraging. You're hearing right now. You're hearing the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, speak to the nations as we're gathered together at the Valley of Decision. What are we going to do with the land of Israel?
Wow.
What are we going to do with the land of Israel? This is so important because right now what he's saying is they're being threatened on every side. Every side they're being threatened. And we have to respond. And understand, individually you can respond. If you partner with, by the way, VFN TV and Daily Radio program by VFNTV.com. You are standing with Israel.
That's right.
We stand.
That's right.
We stand with Israel. We stand boldly for Israel. But realize in Joel, he talks about it. And so we're the whole world now. And don't let people tell you this ain't that. This is Israel.
That's right.
Standing up and saying nations, it's the United Nations, which means all the nations are what?
United.
So we're gathered together. And he's saying, there's a decision before you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a decision before you. And he talks about hope, and he talks about vigilance. And we as believers, as Christians, we need to be hopeful. We should be hopeful.
That's right.
But we need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant. It's time to wake up and shake yourself and strengthen what remains and realize that we are being faced this very moment with a decision, as you're hearing Prime Minister Netanyahu speak, and you can see this on C-SPAN. Mm-hmm. On C-SPAN, you can actually see what you're hearing right now. Go ahead.
Today, our hope for the future is challenged by a nuclear-armed Iran that seeks our destruction. But I want you to know that wasn't always the case. Some 2,500 years ago, the great Persian king Cyrus ended the Babylonian exile of the Jewish people. He issued a famous edict in which he proclaimed the right of the Jews to return to the land of Israel and rebuild the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. That's a Persian decree. And thus began an historic friendship between the Jews and the Persians that lasted until modern times. But in 1979, a radical regime in Tehran tried to stamp out that friendship. As it was busy crushing the Iranian people's hope for democracy, it also led wild chants of death to the Jews. Now, since that time, presidents of Iran have come and gone.
I mean, think about it. This is so important because he's saying biblical history.
Giving context.
He's preaching.
Yeah.
He's preaching from the Torah. He's preaching from the Word of God, saying very specifically. And he's saying, listen, we were one time Persia released us and blessed us. It gave us finance to begin to rebuild. I mean, it's like we had a great relationship there. And he's talking about these new Ayatollahs, this new Islam that's come in, this new mindset of Islam, radical Islam. And so he's actually speaking about it. It was totally different. We had a great relationship.
Yeah.
It's amazing how well and how...
It's interesting, all the stuff that's occurring in the early to late 60s, and now you're seeing this in the 70s. It happened in 1979.
Yes.
It's being forged.
Yes.
And it's coming again. It's being stirred up.
Right. It's exactly. And that's where Nightline started, because they had the hostages in Iran. They had them held hostages, American hostages. And this, the whole program called Nightline Today, it was birthed during the 70s, because they had so many of Americans held at the embassy there that this present leadership... that was doing that. But let's listen up. You're listening to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel speak at the United, as the nations were gathered at the United Nations, and he's talking about the different presidents that's been put in place at in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
It's the issues right here. Listen up.
Some presidents were considered moderates, others hardliners, but they've all served that same unforgiving creed, that same unforgiving regime. That creed that is espoused and enforced by the real power in Iran, the dictator known as the supreme leader, first Ayatollah Khomeini and now Ayatollah Khamenei. President Rouhani, like the presidents who came before him, is a loyal servant of the regime. He was one of only six candidates the regime permitted to run for office. See, nearly 700 other candidates were rejected. So what made him acceptable? Well, Rouhani headed Iran's Supreme National Security Council from 1989 through 2003. During that time, Iran's henchmen gunned down opposition leaders in a Berlin restaurant. They murdered 85 people at the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires. They killed 19 American soldiers by blowing up the Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia. Are we to believe that Rouhani, the National Security Advisor of Iran at the time, knew nothing about these attacks? Of course he did. Just as 30 years ago, Iran's security chiefs knew about the bombings in Beirut that killed 241 American Marines and 58 French paratroopers. Rouhani was also Iran's chief nuclear negotiator between 2003 and 2005. He masterminded the strategy which enabled Iran to advance its nuclear weapons program behind a smokescreen of diplomatic engagement and very soothing rhetoric. Now, I know Rouhani doesn't sound like Ahmadinejad, but when it comes to Iran's nuclear weapons program, the only difference between them is this. Ahmadinejad was a wolf in wolf's clothing. Rouhani is a wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf who thinks he can pull the eyes, the wool over the eyes of the international community. Well, like everyone else, I wish we could believe Rouhani's words, but we must focus on Iran's actions. And it's the brazen contrast, this extraordinary contradiction between Rouhani's words and Iran's actions that is so startling. Rouhani stood at this very podium last week.
Think about that, that now we know it's not startling. We know that it's actually the tactics that are Lucifer's tactics that are written about, exposed through Saul Alinsky's book as he wrote them out, because it's all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And of course, he's very good at sharing, mm-hmm. Much better than we would be in talking about it. But he's just saying, look what they're saying and look what they're doing.
Right.
They're all those tactics are taking place in the context of, you're listening to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Just a few hours ago, as the nations were united to find out what we're going to do with Israel, as American ships were floating outside the West Coast, reportedly, in the Mediterranean, the West side, Israel is now surrounded. You can say what you want to. Israel is now surrounded on every side. And people say, well, I don't think. They're surrounded. America is one of the ones who booed God.
All right.
Who booed Israel being the capital.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem being the capital of Jerusalem 12 months ago.
Of Israel, right.
Americans just did that. They booed. And it's like, okay, this is Jerusalem talking here. And here we are. And by the way, Israel's going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stand. What I'm saying? They're going to stand.
The thing regardless.
Is, the question is, will we stand?
Exactly.
Right. Are we that nation that people back off and look at their ships and say, man, she made everybody wealthy and all that, but in a day she came down.
Yeah.
Based on Dmitry Dudeman's word about America, it sounds a lot like that particular chapter in Revelation. I pray not. I mean, God's desire is for Nineveh to repent and for us to turn to Him. And if we do, if Ahab repented and humbled himself and God paused, then all we have to do is humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're listening to Prime Minister Netanyahu right now talking about, as our ships are floating outside the west coast of Israel, American ships who reportedly at one time had their guns pointed 90 miles north of Haifa, which is Haifa's in Israel, which is Damascus, which is exactly where Saul was headed to be able to persecute the church.
Right.
And in that journey is when they met God. It makes you realize this sounds like Gog and Magog and the whole Arab League of Nations down just with the spirit of Saul Alinsky on them, if you would. And all of a sudden, they're going to experience a bright light. And they're going to kind of like fall dead, and it's going to take, what, six, seven months to bury the bodies and, and 6-7 years to destroy the weapons.
Wow.
What he says. And it's like, oh, maybe that was a picture, what happened to Saul when he was going north to Damascus, which is supposed to be destroyed. And we have our guns pointed at Damascus right now. And let me think for a minute. Oh, yeah. And Jacob's talking to us right now. And the nations are gathered together. I mean, think about it. And he says that it'll come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. So you can't say you got all figured it out. But understand this. He said that but the people that actually know him won't be surprised. We're telling you things that he's made known to us. And when you abide with him, he'll let you know. You want to listen to VFN Radio. You want to download it. You want to make it a part of your daily life. It's a conversation. It's keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. It's the Word of God. Getting a biblical perspective to know what's going on. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know.
That's right.
I mean, what do I do with this? And so let's continue up. We're listening to the Prime Minister of Israel talk to us as they're surrounded by all the nations. And one of those nations, yes, believe it or not, is America.
And praised Iranian democracy. Iranian democracy, he said. But the regime that he represents executes political dissidents by the hundreds and jails them by the thousands. Rouhani spoke of, quote, the human tragedy in Syria. Yet Iran directly participates in Assad's murder and massacre of tens of thousands of innocent men, women, and children in Syria. And that regime is propping up a Syrian regime that just used chemical weapons against its own people. Rouhani condemned the, quote, violent scourge of terrorism. Yet in the last 3 years alone, Iran has ordered, planned, or perpetrated terrorist attacks in 25 cities in 5 continents.
You think about it, this is exactly what's happening, the Lucifer tactics that began in heaven are still continuing today. But, you know, you can organize over a traffic light in your community and get a traffic light up because there's an unjust intersection that needs traffic light because people are dying. And you can organize about your schools because you want better books and you want better funding. I mean, that sounds like a real good cause. You can organize about better leadership. That's a good cause. You know, in a democracy like America, you have the right, the First Amendment right, to organize and to publicly meet and to petition your government. So in America, that would work. Not every country, because God would expect Christians to respond differently in different countries depending which government they are. But you don't organize against Israel.
Right.
And it looks like what we're talking about, because listen to the context, when we're sharing with you what God has made known, Israel's coming to gather the nations to speak to them about, you are polarizing us. You have targeted us. You have personalized us. You have polarized us. And you have all these people coming against us. You have organized us in the Middle East. You have organized Egypt. You have organized this Arab Spring. You have organized Syria and turned Syrians against Syrians and turned the Muslim Brotherhood, who was loosed at the blessing of our own leadership in Egypt, who the Egyptians are crying out wishing that they never would have even happened.
Sure.
In the context of that. And with that, and they're protesting the streets saying, why have you done this? Why have you done this? And so everything's polarized. And so we not only didn't just organize for a traffic light. The whole world's being organized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are brought into the valley of decision. And who is this for? It is not for people who walk in darkness. It's not the Saul Alinsky's. It is you, a person who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the church, not buildings, organizations. It's you. What are you going to do with this valley of decision? What are you going to do when Jacob is standing there saying, you've organized against me on every side. You can't trust. You know, the previous president was a wolf in wolf's clothing. This guy is a wolf too. He's just a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you're believing it. And it's amazing, you know, with all the chaos and the confusion, the polarization, all the things that are not true that's being said. And here he is speaking right to us. Jacob is speaking right to us right now. right now, you think about that. Can you get my mouse over there? That you think about this, that here we are at this very moment being confronted with this reality, with this reality that, oh, this could be over for America because this is a demonic organization effort to organize the world to make it a better place.
Right.
And if we understand how to respond to it according to Christ, according to what I've been sharing, we're going to continue to share about the tactics, you know, tips from Lucifer, how to organize America, the world, really? And then begin to go through each of these tactics and respond in a Christ-like way, in a way that I believe that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did brilliantly in the context of humility before God and country, because he stayed within the context of the Constitution. It was like this apostle, he laid the foundation for how to operate in the context to maintain this nation that God chose to allow it to be lifted up. And just like a mother says, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out. There's a scripture that says very specifically, America, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out.
That's right.
I would like to keep it. Let's listen up. We're listening to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speak at the United Nations just a few hours ago. We're at the Valley of Decision. What are we going to do?
Rouhani denounces, quote, attempts to change the regional balance through proxies. Yet Iran is actively destabilizing Lebanon, Yemen, Bahrain, and many other Middle Eastern countries. Rouhani promises, quote, constructive engagement with other countries. Yet 2 years ago, Iranian agents tried to assassinate Saudi Arabia's ambassador in Washington, D.C. And just 3 weeks ago, an Iranian agent was arrested trying to collect information for possible attacks against the American embassy in Tel Aviv. Some constructive engagement. I wish I could be moved by Rouhani's invitation to join his wave, a world against violence and extremism. Yet the only waves Iran has generated in the last 30 years are waves of violence and terrorism that it has unleashed in the region and across the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could believe Rouhani, but I don't. Because facts are stubborn things. And the facts are that Iran's savage record flatly contradicts Rouhani's soothing rhetoric. Last Friday, Rouhani assured us that in pursuit of its nuclear program, Iran, this is a quote, Iran has never chosen deceit and secrecy. Never chosen deceit and secrecy. Well, in 2002, Iran was caught red-handed, secretly building an underground centrifuge facility in Natanz. And then, in 2009, Iran was again caught red-handed, secretly building a huge underground nuclear facility for uranium enrichment in a mountain near Qom. Rouhani tells us not to worry. He assures us that all of this is not intended for nuclear weapons. Any of you believe that? If you believe that, here's a few questions you might want to ask. Why would a country that claims to only want peaceful nuclear energy, why would such a country build hidden underground enrichment facilities? Why would a country with vast natural energy reserves invest billions in developing nuclear energy? Why would a country intent on merely civilian nuclear programs continue to defy multiple Security Council resolutions and incur the tremendous cost of crippling sanctions on its economy? And why would a country with a peaceful nuclear program develop intercontinental ballistic missiles whose sole purpose is to deliver nuclear warheads? You don't build ICBMs to carry TNT thousands of miles away. You build them for one purpose, to carry nuclear warheads. And Iran is building now ICBMs that the United States says could reach this city in 3 or 4 years. Why would they do all this? The answer is simple. Iran is not building a peaceful nuclear program. Iran is developing nuclear weapons. Last year alone, Iran enriched 3 tons of uranium to 3.5%, doubled its stockpile of 20% enriched uranium, and added thousands of new centrifuges, including advanced centrifuges. It also continued work on the heavy water reactor in Iraq. That's in order to have another route to the bomb, a plutonium path. And since Rouhani's election, and I stress this, this vast and feverish effort has continued unabated. Ladies and gentlemen, underground nuclear facilities, heavy water reactors, advanced centrifuges, ICBMs. See, it's not that it's hard to find evidence that Iran has a nuclear program, a nuclear weapons program. It's hard to find evidence that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapons program. Last year when I spoke here at the UN, I drew a red line. Now, Iran has been very careful not to cross that line. But Iran is positioning itself to race across that line in the future at a time of its choosing. Iran wants to be in a position to rush forward to build nuclear bombs before the international community can detect it and much less prevent it. Yet Iran faces one big problem. And that problem can be summed up in one word: sanctions. I've argued for many years, including on this podium, that the only way to peacefully prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons is to combine tough sanctions with a credible military threat. And that policy today is bearing fruit. Thanks to the efforts of many countries, many represented here, and under the leadership of the United States, tough sanctions have taken a big bite off the Iranian economy. Oil revenues have fallen, the currency has plummeted, banks are hard-pressed to transfer money. So as a result, the regime is under intense pressure from the Iranian people to get the sanctions relieved or removed. That's why Rouhani got elected in the first place. That's why he launched his charm offensive. He definitely wants to get the sanctions lifted. I guarantee you that. But he doesn't want to give up Iran's nuclear weapons program in return. Now, here's a strategy to achieve this. First, smile a lot. Smiling never hurts. Second, pay lip service to peace, democracy, and tolerance. Third, offer meaningless concessions in exchange for lifting sanctions.
You notice that he's actually explaining the Saul Alinsky's approach to Rules for Radicals. And obviously it must have been translated in Farsi. Because they are actually using, it was written in 1971, you have to understand, it's been around, and it was a lot of failed attempts of a lot of folks who tried to flipped the government back in the 70s and the 60s. And he writes about the Black Panther Party in there. He writes about the underground. And he talks about they had to do it in a way that he did not approve of. He said, well, it didn't work. He said, what we have to do is begin to integrate ourselves and get in places of leadership. And so what you're seeing in the past was done
from the outside.
From the outside. Now you're seeing the Saul Alinsky or the Lucifer forms of organizing coming from the top down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From the top down. And that's how it kind of it pans out, by the way, as we talk about it. But you're seeing it right now. So he's describing it. The prime minister is describing, you know, tips from Lucifer how to organize America and the world. Basically, really? I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Prime Minister speak of the United Nations as they're gathered together, and this is what he says. This is what God specifically says in Joel chapter 3 about what's taking place at this very moment. He says, in those days, this is Joel chapter 3, verse 1, in those days, and at that time, when I restore the fortune of Judah and Jerusalem, think about it. And we're probably, I don't know if we get a chance to hear his father's name. He says, when I restore them, we're looking at a restored Israel right now. Mm-hmm. He says, when I restore them, I will gather all the nations together. What's happening right now? They're all gathered, the United Nations, right? I will gather all the nations together and bring them down to the Valley of Decision, or the Valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into a judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel. So Israel's talking to us right now, and he's helping us out. He's helping us out. Do you want it to end up good at the Valley of Decision? And he says, and I will bring them into judgment concerning my inheritance to people Israel, for they scattered my people amongst the nations and divided my land. And everybody wants their land. Like, what do you want that little piece of land for? Because it's God and it's Lucifer trying to organize against Israel. And as we're going to continue on listening the last few moments to that we have on the program today to the Prime Minister, I want to tell you, in Jeremiah chapter 18, when I said, like a mother says, I brought you in this world and I'll take you out, it says very specifically in Jeremiah 18, verse 7 through 10, just to let you know that I wasn't just pulling something off the top of my head. This is what God's word says. It says, if at any time, what is any time? You think about that, right?
Any time.
That means it could be right now, right?
Yeah.
This moment. Everybody goes, well, that's not, no, it says at any time, okay? This could be any time. At any time, if I, which is God, if I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, what does that mean? It doesn't matter how deep your roots are. That if God says, hey, I brought you into this world, I'm not going to uproot you. If at any time I, God, announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, then if the nation I warn repents from the evil, and that's why we're here at VFN Radio, VFN TV. We want to actually repent. Dear God, forgive us for our sin. Forgive us where we turned our backs on you and followed other gods and followed ourselves. He says, if they repent from the evil that they're doing, then I will relent and not inflict upon America. No, not inflict upon it the disaster I had planned, just like Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
God sent a warning shot across the bow. He sent a warning, and the warning shot was named Jonah. And he sent Jonah, and against Jonah's will, he went. And he preached to a people the love of God and repentance and that you got to turn back to God. A people that God had already predetermined that he was going to destroy. He was going to destroy that nation. And he said, but I want to warn them. And then, of course, Jonah starts talking about, well, I mean, look at the evil stuff they're doing, and look at all the bad things, and they're God haters, and they're this, and God said this, and that's what I just want you to know this today. This is how God feels about you. He says, Jonah, what's this have to do with you? These guys don't know their left hand from their right. In other words, God loves you. Darkness covers the earth, thick darkness covers the people, but Jesus is the light of the world. He came to give you light in the midst of this darkness. That's just the enemy trying to push you away from a God that loves you dearly. Even when you walk away from him, like the rich young ruler, and you may bust hell wide open if you do that. Know this, that he still loves you as you walk away. And so he sends this warning shot called Jonah across the bowel of Nineveh. And we've had a warning shot. And this is what VFN Radio, VFN TV, we're hoping that, hey, we're going to say, God, we are sorry. God, forgive us. And that's our journey that we're talking right here. But he says very specifically that he will stop the disaster. There is a disaster plan for America. Hmm. Boom. There it is. But you know what? Many times there's been disastrous plan, but God saw America humble themselves and begin to repent and turn from ourselves and say, God, we turn back to you. That's how the pledge, when we got one nation under God and the Pledge of Allegiance, because we realized we needed God. But then he goes on to say, and if another time, which means it could happen again, right? If at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted. In other words, hey, yeah, that's me. I said America can be there. Yeah, I blessed America. So, hey, if any time he does that. And if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. I will reconsider.
Wow.
I believe right now, just like God said about Saul, King Saul, he says, I regretted the day that I ever made him king. And I was a lot of people that you don't understand, God can regret ever allowing things to happen because we turn on him. You know, that he could say, he could be pondering, is it going to be regret? Am I going to reconsider America? Or is she going to humble herself? Mm. And we're talking about people. We're not talking about Washington, D.C. It's us. And now we're listening at this very moment. Where do you stand with Israel? Did you even know they existed?
Mm.
Did you even know that they're surrounded on every side? If 97% of the church, according to George Barna, is robbing from God just in the basic tithes, you know that you're not doing anything for Israel. Do you really think, is there a reason for us to stand? Man, I would get a dollar bill across the border of Israel as fast as you can. I'd get my face to the ground as fast as you can. Right. And I begin to cry out for God and position yourself. And you have not yet heard. You need to go to bfntv.com and go to the store there and get Facing Impossible Odds with God Brings Possible Victories in Your Life, because there's a vast army being God-Father-filtered brought against this nation. But if we humble ourselves like Jehoshaphat in the valley of decision and position ourselves, that God will release to us a strategy that we walk out by faith, and he will cause our enemy to turn on themselves. And guess what? He will give us victory and spoils as we reboot ourselves back into the place of walking with God again. Listen, we're not going to be able to get back, but you can listen to an entirety. Listen to, and I encourage you to listen to the entire 32-minute speech. Mm-hmm. From Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It is so encouraging to hear sanity again. And not only that, but Israel is preaching to us. Israel is preaching to us. And we just found out in Joel, we'll be judged in the last days how we respond to the message that we're hearing. I want to say, as we end, thank you to all of our sponsors and underwriters. It's your gifts that makes this program possible. If you haven't yet, go visit our partners, sponsors and underwriters, or sponsors and underwriters at vfntv.com, and let them know, give them a shout out, say thank you for standing up for the light. Thank you for keeping the conversation light. Thank you for standing up for God and country in that order and Israel. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at vfntv.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at vfntv.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.